Okay.
Vienna.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Morning.
Are you okay?
Members are coming. Yeah. Members are coming.
My word.
Hi. Underwald, we don't have chairs yet. Please.
But you can go if there's
no chairs. No.
They won't miss you.
No.
What are you doing here?
That's what you think. Oh, very soon.
I think the
baby has
we should be I think he probably wants to
Mapanvas, how are you? Let me come and greet you. You are the only one I can greet. The one next to you.
Why?
I'm saying the one next to you, I want to see.
Do you need another chair? You can have the one.
Oh, okay. I'm just a funny situation.
They are coming. Any more members of the
one?
I'm going to move because I'm thinking about it.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Can you see us?
so like I was saying, it's just been quite a journey with a lot of emotions. And it's still urgent with serious emotions from us as members and from the people who are followers of the sector, but also to the country general. As we are about to close, at the personal level, I want to thank you members, everybody. I want to thank every one of you for holding when it was tough. You were holding, and we hope that all the disagreements that we had were nothing of personal. They were just issues that we had to go through. It's very cool today and it's very hot here. So on the agenda, we are having consideration of amendments of the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill. Then after that, we are going to consider the adoption of minutes. But before we adopt this agenda, I want to request, or rather, to say to the members that we have received a legal opinion which was requested by the Democratic Alliance. And I'm going to ask the legal team to take us through that. And then, of course, we will see if there's a need to deliberate on it. And then we can then come to the agenda. I'm just putting that as an item that we must start with that. If the meeting agrees, or if you feel that you have read it, you are fine with it, if you don't want the legal team. But my advice is that let us allow them to take us through, because Nashem, I'm from Buya, Saten, Ukraine. I know nothing of legal. And since I grew up, I only know Amandla. This thing of English, you can see it's a strict English, Leo. Huh? So the legal people take us through that if the meeting agrees. So I don't know, members, can we agree on that approach, or?
Thanks, Chair. Just on just two things of that. One, is this to check, Chair, whether this meeting, are we live streaming it through YouTube or not? Because we had obviously made a commitment that we're trying to do all of that in our meeting. And then secondly, I do think that for that to happen, it would be good to maybe add that as the first item on the agenda when we do adopt the agenda, and then get that presentation from Diego, which is fine, and then move on to the considerations and all the other things that are on the agenda. But I do think that if you can just give guidance in terms of the meeting itself being on the other side.
I am hoping that we are doing that like that. Like how you are saying it, because that is our suggestion. Are you moving? Can I get it in the corner? You are not moving.
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying that let's get the presentation from Dito.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you, Chair.
So you are moving.
So you are moving.
No, I'm not.
You are agreeing.
Can we get it? But also, okay, the issue is live streaming. Are we live streaming? No, we're not live streaming. I think Llewellyn did mention that there's no live streaming for this meeting. Who do you want to impress outside there? Can you get a mover?
Good morning to your good self, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. Welcome, Honorable Van Walt. Good morning to the officials of Parliament and of the Department and everyone in the meeting. Chair, I move to adopt the agenda as you have proposed, and I don't know that I seconded. I'm ready. I'm proposing that we move with the amendment, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. You will start with the legal opinion then. Okay. The second, honorable principal.
Chairperson, it would be very important for me to indicate my name is Aroni and my father's name is Murat Tech. A good morning to everybody, of course, in this all-important portfolio committee meeting. Let me rise here to second the move for the adoption of this agenda, of course, with the augmentation that you've made. Thank you.
All right. There is Honorable Harman.
Sorry, I just had to step out for a moment, Chairperson.
Oh, welcome. Honorable Herman is the substitute of Honorable Yabo. I think one thing we have missed is that Honorable Yabo could not be part of this meeting. But just for members to know that she is standing in for, she is 86. Probably you have seen that. Some time ago, so she is an alternate of the committee. So without wasting any time, let me give to Amagweta. Amagweta. Thank you.
Greetings to all the honorable members and everyone present in the platform. My name is Kumela Lengema, the parliamentary legal advisor. With the direction of the Chairperson, you would recall that what we have prepared is basically what we already engaged and deliberated on in the previous meetings of the committee. It was just as per the committee's request that we prepare a written opinion to speak into what we already spoken to orally, as I indicated. So, Chairperson, I will not be reading the opinion, as I am under the impression and understanding that it was already shared. So I will basically speak to it and give the substance and precise points of the opinion, which is basically to first deal with the legal questions that were posed to us, and was to deal with the issue of the process, which we already spoke to in terms of National Assembly Rule 286, and we explained that there's various processes that needs to be taken into consideration and done when a committee considers the bill. And we did mention that amongst that was the issue of the motion of desirability, as well as the issue of processing the bill in line with the public participation obligations that are set out in Section 59 of the Constitution. Now, the second question, Chairperson, related to the content and provision of clauses 4 and 5, which are the clauses that are dealing with the issue of issuing or determining policies in respect of admission and languages at schools. So, Chairperson, what we basically dealt with was the issue whether Clauses 4 and 5 is dealing with the issue of separation of powers, and we needed to clarify that and put it in writing in addition to what was already done in the committee. And so the opinion speaks to that and set out the legal framework, which the committee itself is aware that our starting point is at Section 29 of the Constitution, which is the provision that deals with granting the right to education and all the systems that can be put in place in respect of dealing with regulating that sector. Then the second issue in terms of the legal framework, Chairperson, since we are dealing with learners, we then spoke to the question of Section 28, which are the rights pertaining to children. And the point that we are basically making there, Chairperson, is that even the Constitution is enjoining all of us, the state, the people, that we must all give paramount importance to the best interest of the children. And that translates into ensuring that all the processes that are speaking into how we deal and regulate the issues of children, it must be put as the paramount interest that the child is put first more than anything else. We then, in line with setting up the legal framework, spoke to the relevant judgments, as we did even during our discussions. I will not engage on all of them, Chairperson, or any of them, but I think mainly is to start with the ones that are dealing with public participation, especially the most interesting one and the recent one, the Mohale judgment. I think if we look at all the public participation judgment and how the court has attempted or given us a jurisprudence into the interpretation and understanding that obligation, nothing has changed. Mohale didn't change what Dr. Spolai said, which is basically to say, what is public participation? What is required of Parliament? What does that right, because it's both a right and an obligation. For the people, it's the right that they must be engaged, and whatever they bring forward to influence the lawmaking process, they must be heard, and it must be seen to influence and considered by the structure or the organ of state, and in this instance, it's the committee on behalf of the National Assembly. In terms of the Section 59 and as well as Section 57, as well as those cases, which is Doctors for Life, La Mota, Bienista judgments, we still, as Parliament, have a discretion to decide how to deal with participation, which means the methods on how each bill is processed legislatively. It can be decided per specific committees. Each committee can decide, we will run public hearings provincially, we will run public hearings only in Parliament. That is not specified anywhere, because the court and even the constitution itself is still set out and says it's a discretion of Parliament to decide how to facilitate public involvement. And we then went to town about the judgments relating to the issue under clause 4 and clause 5. And the main ones that we spoke to are the MLA judgment, which basically confirms that in because of the way that the Schools Act was drafted and the initial policy which gave effect to the Act, it created a structure of the three-tier partners. And the three-tier partners, as we all know, it involves the school itself, and the school itself translates to the learners, the educators, the community where the school is located, as well as the learner themselves. And that's why that system then created an association or a collection of the parties that will form the representatives of those, as calling them the school governing body to run the school together with the principal. It also pointed out that the structure, the design of the Act, gives the mandate, the obligations, and the power to the minister, the provincial member of the Executive Council responsible for the education, as well as the head of department who, in the physical part of it, is represented by the principal of school. So those are the clear partnerships. Three-tier partnership that the Schools Act, the National Policy on Education, dictated upon and is giving effect to Section 29 of the Constitution. And that is what all these cases are confirming, that in light of the structure of the Schools Act, that partnership is what is guiding the regulation and how the schools should be governed, because there are too many people having an interest, and everyone, the dictate of the provisions and the constitution is that those people must try to work cooperatively and collaborate in ensuring that they promote the interest of the child to be at school. We further set out other provisions then in respect of Section 85, as well as the issue of the concurrent competency, because we pointed out in our second opinion, which is the opinion that specifies what process a bill that is introduced in Parliament should follow. In this instance, I would remind members that because it is located under Schedule 4, basic education or education at all levels, under Schedule 4, it says education at all levels, but with the exclusion of tertiary education, is a functional area that both national and provincial legislators can legislate on. Now, that's where the issue of, I appreciate maybe the question of separation of powers arose from. But what we are pointing out is that what clause 4 and 5 are dealing with is not the issue of separation of powers, because as my colleague explained during the meeting, that the principle of separation of powers is a principle that speaks to the powers and the obligations and the protection in line with the Constitution, that the three arms of government must know their spaces, must not usurp or enter into the terrain of the other structures of the arms of government. So the principle of separation of powers is a principle or a doctrine that speaks to the legislature, the executive, as well as the judiciary. But what clauses 4 and 5 of the Bill of Rights are attempting to do is to clarify, perhaps, because I appreciate in the briefing of the department and the engagement, when the department was explaining that there's been too much contestation of the space and of the power and of the function the two exactly has what role in terms of the three-tier partnership structure that the SASA Act is promoting. And then we point out that there was an issue in respect of defining basic education, but it was again in the meeting pointed out that it is not advisable per se that we advise what is a basic education, because Section 29 says that everyone has a right to a basic education without defining it. So with all the changes that are still taking place and allowing space for the sector to develop and deal with issues as they arise, my colleague did say that it's not safe then to give a definition when the Constitution does not give us a definition, as well as the judgment there. But we are pointing out that in line with the deliberations, that there is an attempt to give an inclusive definition of what basic education could be for purposes of the amendment bill that seeks to amend the Principal Schools Act. Like I said, Chairperson, I think it's important that I just read out what 17.17 is saying, and trying to make a distinction to the impact and the status and the binding effect of a law and a policy. In that Akani judgment, the court said laws, regulations, and rules are legislative instruments, whereas policy determinations are not. As a matter of sound government, in order to bind the public, policy should normally be reflected in such instruments. Policy determinations cannot override, amend, or be in conflict with the laws, including subordinate legislation. Otherwise, the separation between the legislature and the executive will disappear. And that still speaks to the issue of the separation of powers doctrine. So, Chairperson, basically, in summary, to bring to that statement of the court or the dictum of the court, is to say the committee needs to appreciate there's a distinction between a law, which is what you are enacting today. Once this process is finalized and the NCOP has concurred or dealt with their processes and it is signed into law by the president, it will be enacted as a law, and the law is binding to each and every citizen of the country. The regulations have a similar status as the law. It's just that it's subordinate in the sense that instead of the details coming from the legislature, coming from the legislators as yourself empowered by the Constitution, the power you have sub-delegated it to the executive to say, provide the details in terms of the empowerment that we have given to you. And that is what Clause 41 in this instance for purposes of this bill is dealing with. And what arose in respect of Clause 41, just to bring members up to speed, was the issue, which is to say we need to ensure that it aligns with what Section 101(4) of the Constitution provides, to say that Parliament can determine or express how it wants to deal with the regulations. since they've subdelegated the power to the executive, do they still want to have a hand and play a role in that process? And that is what in the English my colleague will be speaking to in terms of clause 1. In terms of clause 41. Then, Chairperson, what we are saying in 18 is Act 2 of the Bella Bill 6 to amend Section 3 of the Schools Act, and that section is on compulsory attendance. The deliberations of the committee are clear that it was agreed that that is necessary and that is in line with the Constitution Section 29, which is why in the attempt to bring a proposal for basic education, we are speaking to that issue. As to what compulsory attendance would mean and inclusive of what to ensure that the right to basic education is given respect. Then we speak to clause 4 and 5, which we are saying clause 4 and 5 is amending sections 5 and 6, and I did already point out that those originally provisions are dealing with who can determine the policy for admission at school, who can determine the policy for language at school. What the bill is attempting to do, as we already pointed out and the department explained, is to clarify the extent of the role. And the amendment that my colleague will speak to will explain what we have clarified, what the members pointed out as the issues, having been guided and influenced by the submissions that the public, whether orally, written, or through the provincial hearing, did reach the committee. So, Chairperson, without eating too much of the time, because I think all the rest that I'm saying is written then basically explaining the history and the issues, the main point again which we need to take home in light of ensuring that whatever is done by the legislators here is to ensure the paramountcy and the interest of a child. The court said in paragraph 2 of Rivonia, the question we face as a society is not whether, but how to address the problem of uneven access to education. There are various stakeholders, a diversity of interests and competing visions. Tensions are inevitable. I think the process that the committee has engaged on showed exactly that. But disagreement is not a bad thing, and this is not me saying this, it is the court. The Constitutional Court. It is how we manage those competing interests and the spectrum of views that is pivotal to developing a way forward. The Constitution provides us with a reference point. That reference point puts the interest of the child first above all else. The trouble begins when we lose sight of that reference point, when we become more absorbed in staking out the power to have the final say, rather than in fostering partnerships to meet the educational needs of children. And that is exactly what the department is attempting to do by bringing a clause 4 and a clause 5 amendment that amends section 5 and section 6 of the SASA Act. That said, Chairperson, I then speak to the issue of the... Thank you, Chairperson. I conclude in 25 by saying clause 4 and 5 of the Bella Bill gives effect to the Rivonia judgment in respect of the role players and extent of the power and authority to determine school policies and uniform norms and standards within the three-tier partnership in promoting the paramount interest of educating a child. We then speak to the issue of public hearings, which I've already done. Chairperson, I've mentioned the Doctors for Life, the La Mosa, and that they are to take, as well as Mohale judgment and the other ones, is still failing. La Mosa is the Land Access Movement of South Africa case, which was against Parliament. They are still failing. Parliament, you have an obligation. Ensure that the public is engaged. Involve them. Facilitate their involvement. Do the best that you can do. Do not argue costs. Do not argue difficulties and say this could not be done because of 1, 2, 3. Ensure that public facilitation is facilitated and the public, in order for them to feel dignified, this is what paragraph 2 of Mukhale's judgment says, that the whole point of public participation is to ensure that people, as part of their right to participate and be represented and be involved in democracy, give them their dignity, listen to them, hear to what they say, because in the end this law is going to be affecting them. They must follow it, they must respect it, they must enforce it. If anything goes wrong, the repercussions are on them. So that is basically what it's saying. By ensuring that you give effect and facilitate public involvement, you raise and personify the dignity of the people that you are representing and the people that you are saying, we have heard you, we gave you a chance to say what it is that we may not be aware of, influence us, the process is now to consider exactly that. Without the court having said dictatively that this is the process you must follow, Parliament still has the discretion to decide how to go about. And I think that is what the report that went before the committee to speak to all the public hearings and how it was done, speak to exactly that discretion and how this committee decided to follow its own process. Then that said, Chairperson, we are then concluding our advice by basically giving the answers to the two questions. What is the process in terms of the committee processing the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill? National Assembly Rule 286, sub 4, explains the whole process, and part or partial provision thereof has been engaged already to a point that the deliberations have taken place, the influence from the public has also taken place, and today it is an attempt through the ALIS to give effect to the deliberations and the directives of the committee to say we've heard the public, we have had our engagement, and this is how we try to find one another as the court demanded in that paragraph that I pointed out. So, as I said, being the creature of the statute, there is nothing Parliament can do without being guided and enabled by a specific provision. And this instance, National Assembly Rule 286 together with the provisions of the Constitution are those dictates of the statute. And then, Chairperson, in order to respond to the question which was posed, are we satisfied or we can give a view that clause 4 and 5 will be able to pass constitutional muster? It does not usurp the powers that are already given and conferred, not necessarily in terms of the separation of powers principle, but in terms of clarifying the responsibilities and the autonomy of the minister as the executive, and we pointed out what section 85 points out, as well as the provincial legislatures, because this is a concurrent functional area, as well as the head of department and the principal of schools, and those that are affected by the running of the school. We are saying clause 4 and clause 5 is bringing that necessary clarity, and the deliberations of the committee also guided us into what we have suggested, as will be seen from the agent. Therefore, Chairperson, with reference to our taking opinion meetings of the committee that we attended, the Bella Bill is still pursuing the correct legal process of bill in line with Section 29 and Section 76 of the Constitution, which 76 has already been defined and explained by the court that it's a bill that is, it's an ordinary bill that's affecting provinces. And if we say it's affecting provinces, we are saying it's affecting the whole country, because the country is divided into 9 provinces anyway. And therefore, we are saying, in light of the processes that they are unfolding, there is compliance with Section 59. The committee has given effect. The committee has received the submissions, various types of submissions, which were oral submissions, written submissions, oral submissions in the provinces and also here in Parliament, and any other way that the submissions found their way to the hearings and the ears of the committee members. And those, we are saying, as the process has unfolded, have been considered have been brought to the attention of the committee as per the dictates and the explanation that the court has given us through the jurisprudence that we have still today. And then finally, Chairperson, on the issue of motion of desirability, we do point out that it was brought up, and there are two processes. It's the one, as I indicated, in terms of I, if the committee feels that there is no interest to go ahead, then that's where the system stops, and you just prepare a report and give it back to the National Assembly indicating your processes. But what has transpired does show that there is an interest and there is a need to desire to go ahead with dealing with the amendments that the department has introduced, and that is exactly what the process is at. We are so advising Chairperson. Thank you very much.
By just that,
those 9,500 submissions that were not given to us to consider, for us to meaningfully engage them, we've got a challenge there. The second thing it then says, there must be a matrix that will not just quantify what are the numbers, so how many submissions we got, but content-wise, qualitatively, what I was raising in the past, clause by clause, what is the public saying, so that we are influenced by all the submissions. And this is despite our views and all of that. And I think the principle of saying that we must always deal with the law with the child in mind, I think all of us have that. And I think most of us in the committee have children ourselves, but I don't think there's anyone who's got a better interest than their children, than a parent. So I don't understand what some of the comments that we hear there, but that's besides the point. So I do, Chair, think that on those two things, we may need to consider as a committee that, look, the report that was adopted initially did not have all of these 9,500 submissions. We do not have a matrix in that report. There were discrepancies in that report. And should we then proceed with that type of report, we will be challenged at a later stage. Rather than us saying, look, let's get all the submissions, get a thorough report with a proper matrix, quantitatively, qualitatively, and let those influence us before we even proceed to deliberations. You know, there's a question I was even asking myself, that the deliberations that we did in the past 2 weeks, even themselves, are they not questionable because we didn't consider all submissions? Because they need to influence us to make the decisions clause by clause. And just going through to what now has been put forward to us on the agenda, which is the next item on the agenda, I do think that we're going to have to put a pause on that. Until, Chair, you give us guidance as to, based on your ruling, whether we should proceed or not based on the points that I'm raising. The last thing, Chair, which is the third one, that I would like to raise with you, is that in Parliament doing due deliberation in considering public participation, and rightfully saying so, the advocate saying there mustn't be excuses on budget, there mustn't be excuses on capacity and all of that stuff. And to safeguard the process ourselves, I do think that we're going to need to go and consider those submissions, Chair, first and foremost. Secondly, develop a matrix with the quantity and the quality, clause by clause. Come and consider it as a committee. Then we start the deliberations again, or restart the deliberations, so that we're properly influenced, so that process-wise we're not challenged at a later stage. Failure to do so, I can almost guarantee you, process-wise, based on all the judgments that were cited there, the land access judgment, we are going to be challenged to say, look, you haven't considered our views as the public. You have decided to bulldoze through the process and only consider a certain portion, and then you make an excuse to say, well, we might not have had capacity to deal with the 9,500, but those submissions were made first, and Parliament went to jump and go do other, analyze other deliberations and other submissions that were made, despite those submissions being there in existence. So I do think I need your ruling, Chair, on that, so that we can make a decision as members of the committee on how do we then proceed, and you know, proceeding in the right manner. And if we fail to do that as Parliament, we will have those consequences. And that's all I wanted to raise, Chair, based on the advice that we've been given. And obviously, I'll wait for your ruling at the end. Thanks.
My only plea to the members that are going to speak, what note that I have raised, please don't add on it. The issues he has raised, they do make sense as he has raised them. So speak on other issues so that we don't waste time on one thing. Honourable Fonseca.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to add, it won't take long, but I want to quote what Advocate Ngema said during her presentation of the legal opinion from Parliament. She said, and I quote, have been guided by inputs, the committee, have been guided by inputs from the public. That's what she says. And in Section 26 of the same Act, I want to actually quote a different section as to what Honourable Nodada raised in the same section, saying, yes, the Lamusa and Mohali judgments, which I have read, says, dictate that every public submission must be given consideration and seen to influence the final product or decision processing of the Committee of Parliament. African Gema said that it's in the Lamola judgment, it's in their legal opinion, the 9,500 has not been submitted, reported to the committee. meaningful participation, therefore, has not been done. People have had a voice. Half of them have not been listened to. So I think that this process cannot continue and must go back to the department where the 9,500 submissions made must not only be assessed but counted and incorporated to the national support report. And that the national report must then be a do-over. We start from that process again. Thanks, Chair.
Ek het regtig nie nog wat geweet.
You don't know what to process.
I can always keep them to see. I've also listened carefully, and whilst I was away a few weeks whilst this was happening, I did follow thoroughly. So there's a lot of emphasis on public participation, that every submission must count, etc., etc. So I'm not going to repeat on the 9,500. But I do, however, have a major concern, and I think the issue around petitions is what I would like to raise on public participation. So if you read Section 17 of the Constitution, it stipulates on petitions. If you read Parliament's own document on what is a petition, how it happens, who's allowed, etc., etc., it clearly states that everybody can petition a matter of interest or concern to them. And I would just like to quickly read a quote from there, because I don't think meaningful can stop at oral presentation. It also has to include written submissions. And I want to make a comparison. In the hearings that I attended, for example, Satu came and all read the same thing when they spoke. So if people signed the same sentence, they should also be counted individually. So a petition, according to Parliament, is a group of people request intervention or assistance on specific issues and grievances. A petition is a formal written request, usually signed by many people, and that many people are asking Parliament for its assistance on matters or grievances. And I would like to know, in that public participation, which everybody can submit to Parliament, at the end of the day, what is the legal presentation here saying about petitions and the legality of that, and why aren't they counted individually? Because if, and I want to give you an example, Chair, because this is Women's Month. I'm sure that around this table in this room, every one of us will sign a petition that you cannot rape a woman, you cannot assault her, etc., etc., etc. Would you say if all of us sign that petition, it counts as one submission? Or does it count on the feeling and the intention of each and every signature on that petition? There's no difference to another petition. Doesn't matter what the topic is. I sign something because that is what I want or don't want. You can be pro or against on a petition. And I therefore submit, Chairperson, that people who sign petitions from various organizations should have the right to, so to speak, every vote count, every signature counts. And we need to know how many petitions were submitted, how many signatures to each petition, because they should count, because I think this is also open for challenge in court. So I sign a petition to want something or be against something, you have to hear my voice. I have a right in the constitution of this country. Thank you, Chair.
I continue, Chair. You are not the Chair.
I'm listening.
Chair, I am also just going to add, as you've given direction in that regard, the correspondence that I sent to you dealt with the issue of meaningful engagement as it relates to the process that we followed in our first deliberation. Mine now is to expand on the issue of meaningful engagement and effective process. The matrix engagement is necessary because it not only allows members to apply their minds to what the public has said, but it also allows for the department to respond to what the public has said. And my contention, Chair, is that we have, by virtue of how we dealt with the deliberations in absence of a matrix or even the flighting of those comments clause by clause by the public, we have paid lip service to public engagement and public participation. The fact that many members on the day when we spoke on clause 37, for instance, said that there is no proposals, there were no proposals in terms of clause 37 and the redraft, speaks to that, because there were proposals made with the homeschooling community that attended our public hearings, as well as the written submission. But whether it is or is not, we are not able to say that because we don't have a matrix to show that either, one, if the statement be true, that there was no proposals, or that there are proposals, which we know there are proposals that has been made, especially written proposals that were made. So mine is, Chair, to say that we cannot continue with an A-list deliberation if we did not give meaning to the public comments, and if the A-list that we are now dealing with would be premature because we have not engaged with what the public has said to us as a committee. And our engagement, as I said previously, points to that. And it is underlined, I think, Advocate Ngema, who is applauded by Honorable Letsia, has underlined the issue around, in paragraph 26, the issue around to alleviate fears. It's not only the fears of us, it is the public that we need to show that we are taking their voice seriously. So, my Chair, that is my contribution to the issue of process, and I would say that we need to go back to the drawing board when it comes to the deliberations, so that we properly engage with what the public has said. Thank you, Chair.
I applaud it, number 29.
Let me welcome the legal opinion presented by Ms. Ngema. It's really assisting us to move forward. And I would base my support also for this legal opinion and the advice on point 81, that as a committee we're still pursuing the correct legal process of this bill, and we're in line with Section 29 and 76 of the Constitution. And however, Chair, I'm also in agreement that the oral submissions that were not counted, there's a need to count them and also include them in the national report, as we have adopted the report with amendments. So one of the amendments must be that one, that all the voices must be heard, and all those, whether it's 9,000 or 7,000, I believe that they need to be counted and be added in the report. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Chair.
No,
it's a...
Wait.
Section
28,
she wanted to say...
Can you get Honorable Letsia speak?
No, thank you, Chair. The new members, the new member.
There is a war here. Yeah.
I'm going to take you out. We are in need of things. So, God be my friend.
She says that she can't wait.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to yourself, and good morning to all honorable members, department, leadership, and concerned people attending. Let me welcome the legal opinion, Chair. Indeed, Honorable Speaker, I clapped hands in my heart when Advocate Ngeme was reading the last line of what is this, paragraph 29, where it says, we are of the view that the proposed changes in the A-list in respect of clause 4 and 5 of the Bella Bill are constitutional, and other legal concerns raised and been taken care of. I clapped hands there in my heart. I was surprised you saw that. Chair, we welcome the presentation. We must take a moment, Chair, and go back a little bit as to why did we request this legal opinion. Because I mean, she's been saying a lot of things you don't agree with. We've not disrupted there. This behavior must stop. It's irritating. if we don't go back, Chair, and check ourselves, we will have an open-ended process. And I think, I believe that that is the intention of SAR, who don't want us to see, you know, or to see the end of this bill. That is why even when you are in a train station, bus station, you are stopped by people telling you a whole lot of crap that this bill has been in existence for 13 years. Who do you think you are to finish it in less than 2 years? And I think the intention of some people is really to try and derail it. Because when we asked for this bill, it was to check this issue of, as the advocate said, the two things. Now, we're coming back, we're introducing issues that are petitions, and tomorrow it will be something else. I want us to, tomorrow they will think of something, like, let's ask about this. And it can be. It just can be. They will ask us, why did you not have a hybrid session of this meeting? Because public participation, they want to know what did, who said what. So we must, Chair, go back and, attend to some of these things that have been said here today. I want to support those who are saying, those who are the 9.5 something that have not been, because I can tell you, it's not the public who take us to court, it's us here who take ourselves to court. Those numbers must be brought in. Let's analyze them. And let's consider the report. We must just agree on time frames. If it means, we must give people some time to go and work 24 hours to finish on this thing. Let's do so. But I want us, Chair, next time when we agree on something, we don't bring in new things. As we're doing today.
that thing will make sure that we don't finish the thing. I think we must be very strict. If you go and have a caucus with your lawyers, they come and tell you, no, go and ask about this thing. You must tell them immediately, or no, that one is closed now, we've passed that stage. So the window of bringing as many things in the through the window must come to an end. So that is my view, Chair. I welcome the well thought legal opinion from Parliament. We hope that they continue giving such nice legal opinion. When people, Chair, when advocating them was going through certain things, I had some members groaning, almost kicked and screamed, kicking and screaming. I realized that it was a very good legal opinion. Thank you very much.
I thought I was there.
Oh, my apologies, I forget to ask. Sorry.
No,
sorry,
just
my
I can see you with a very strong alliance with Honorable Bosho. Very strong
alliance.
But nonetheless, on the light and roof. Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. Of course, let me join the queue of those who have spoken before me in welcoming and appreciating a well-oiled legal opinion presented to this all-important portfolio committee. Truth be said, Advocate Ngema and your team, thank you very much for bringing us to light. You have said, according to me, you have said it all without sparing anyone's face. And we want to appreciate that brutal truth that you have presented to us. Chair, I'm rising here to say, I think the honorable members who spoke before me, of course, if all of them are honest to what they were saying, they have got a point. I must start right there. That indeed, based on the report that has just been presented, we need to do our best, especially with regard to the written submissions, which have been hanging, of course, in almost majority of our meetings. That there appear that there is a number. But initially, if we can revisit our minutes, I recall, of course, talking subject to be corrected, that we're talking something about 7,000, which was never brought to us, was never counted and not brought to us. But whether it is 7,000 or 9,500, because it appears the numbers keep on moving like what do you call it? It's moving, you see, keeping on moving, like a moving target in itself. I think we are now being recorded. This is not virtual. This is a physical meeting. We are now being recorded that we are talking about a maximum of 9,500. We should not get another 11,000 run. I mean 11,000 the next time we meet. For 15,000. So it's 9,500. Let's agree, Chair. I'm rising here to support Honorable Aduan as she was responding to Honorable, the fears of Honorable Nodada. He has got a point, not despite the fact that he's sitting on the opposite bench, that indeed, given the legal opinion advice, and then the move taken by Honorable Aduans, that let's go and have a counting on this outstanding number of 9,500. And this time around, Chair, I'm going to take it further to say those in the portfolio committee who may love to observe, they be allowed to do so. You see, we cannot keep on moving in cycles. And we want to rent this job. And for us to rent this job is to do justice once and for all. But now these issues which are coming afresh here, the metrics, the developments, and the petitions, you see, that's the reason why. And you see, the issue of the petition is brought here by a person who has just arrived here, the newcomer. You see, it's a bit strange. Because you see, you cannot disappear, whether good in good faith or in bad faith. And when you come, you bring new things to the committee. And it's for the but in any case, she's my home girl, if not
happy
home
people.
Woman. You see?
Happy
yeah.
People.
Okay, no. She has divorced me. You had it all. So, but nonetheless, the bottom line is, I don't know what the petition party is going to assist this committee with. But I support, however, Chairperson, that the counting of the maximum number of 9,500 be revisited or be done. I want to refer. I can't refer for you, not looking at me. You see, that's also to say it's what's
happening.
I'm
giving
you
with advisors.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I wanted to give you that chance, Chairperson. Thank you. Let me wrap up by saying, we support the counting. It's not a recounting, it's the counting of the 9,500, which is alleged they were not counted. That's the thing. But I don't think this should inform our progress for today. Because you see, Chairperson, if we agree, we can equally come to an agreement, but even after we shall have dealt with the A-list, the outcomes of the 9,500, we open a window, if not an air break, so that the outcome of the counting of 9,500 will come back and you commit to us and the SFS Portfolio Committee that we'll have a meeting wherein the report of the counting will come and we see how much is going to affect the A-list. What I could support is that the position, the outcome of the A-list should not be processed until we get a report on the counting of the 9,500. But that the work of today should be halted because of the counting. I think we will not be valuing the time at our disposal from Parliament. And we cannot come here for 2 minutes and say, because of 1, 2, 3, we must just take and go another. Unless the people have got somewhere to go and for whatever reason. But we've come here for a business and we must therefore do that business and the due diligence to the business itself. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I support Honorable Adun with all what I have said as corroborated. Thank you.
And I've been looking at you.
Oh, no, thank you. That's very much wrong. This is
wrong. Representing me, but I'll get to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Oh, Lord.
I also want to start with the participation, although I think I have something new to say. I must say my calculations don't exactly get to 9,500. I get 6,000 something, but it doesn't really go.
Why did you abolish my girl?
I think still keep their self, their own identity. Nevertheless, I think it's a principle of having these representations being represented in writing. And the problem is when we go on these oral hearings, whether the people come here or whether we go there, we can triangulate what we read in the report by what we remember from being there. And say, yes, that corresponds, or it doesn't quite correspond. But these thousands of written submissions, whether electronic or whether in our hard copy, we don't have any way to appreciate how meticulous or how accurate the opinions were represented. And that is where the idea of a matrix is actually a very good idea, because it represents it very well, and it could also be distributed to our constituencies to say, okay, do you maybe not notice anything that you actually said? The thing with these 6,348 or 9,500 is maybe one of them is an educational genius who proposed something that none of us have thought of. And therefore, we can't include it as an afterthought, saying, okay, we are going right through the process and then we get something which we didn't expect and which changes everything. So that must have been completed. And that's a difficult one for an Afrikaans person who only has two tenses. Three, past, present, future. So it can't be right to deal with it the way we are doing it now. And I want to say, if people want to suggest that any of the opposition members actually try to draw out the process, if we wanted to be subversive in this process, we would just have left everything which are not well, or which is not well, everything which is not well, to say, well, let it be challenged in court, and we can wash our hands in innocence because it's not us. So we rather try to have this process as good as possible. Of course we have our opinions, and of course we differ on some things, but our job as legislators is to really, you know, ensure that the process is managed as good as possible. So if I look at what is represented from the oral presentations, it is said that the main problem raised in the provinces with the new powers of the HOD is that you will be swamped by a lot of work. But that's not the essence of what people said. That was an afterthought. What people actually said is that authority does not belong with the head of the education department. That's part of the problem. If we go to the matrix, I just want to return to that because I forgot this one thing. I only attended the Northern Cape hearings because I'm not a full member of this committee. And it struck me that at least five of the people who participated in a public participation process introduced themselves as officials of the Department of Education of the Northern Cape. Now, the Department of Education is the promoter of this. It's not part of the public. One of those actually had the wisdom to say, but I'm also a parent of two children, and I'm here in my capacity of that, being that parent. The others just thought that they were important by saying that they are from the department. Actually, it was not their place. They should not be there. It could even be said of trade unions to a certain extent, although I don't want to venture into that. It's a little bit on both sides. Okay, that's everything I wanted to say about the participation process. On the division of powers, I still... You know, I'm not a lawyer, a wetsgeleerde, as we say in Afrikaans, so I'm always very, very cautious when I note the difference between myself and a lawyer if it is about law. But as I see it, if you have the division line between legislators making policy, we have the minister, the MEC, and the SGB. And on the other side of that line, on the executive side, we have the director general, the provincial HOD, and the principal and his staff. So if the SGB on this side may make an error, or they muddle the whole thing of admission or language, they have a school with room for 2,000 kids, but they only have 500. If the SGB makes that error, then it should come from the minister or the MEC, not from the HOD. He crosses the line, or she crosses the line between policy on this side and execution on that side. So it still seems to me that we have a problem with the division of powers. It's not just the three tiers being clarified who does what. So I think we have a problem, and this might just end in court. There are lots of interest groups with lots of money who really don't like this bill to go through. And I think if you know anybody who's in a hurry to push it through has a problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the moment. I would love to welcome the legal opinion that was given by advocate here. And I know that I got the bus moving already, and I've checked and listened to all the deliberations that have been happening. Chair, I think the legal opinion that advocate gave us actually the way forward as to how to deal with the submissions that were left out and how to deal with all that movement as to how to go forward. Chairperson, I'm not quite sure how and why those 9,000 or 6,000 were left behind, but I think that shouldn't hold us back from moving forward, whether Honourable Bishop think that there are those who want to push it forward. But I think it is time that our education is really decolonized and changed for the better for our kids and our kids. So I'm not quite sure, Chairperson, what what is entailed with these 9,500 submissions. I cannot get the actual facts as to what is being hidden in those submissions. I don't know whether we have to go back and start looking at them again, or whether it is a ploy to deliberately holding back what should be submitted and made a law for our kids. Chairperson, I think the faster we work on the bill, the better it will be, so that we move forward. I know that as the legal opinion has been saying that with everything should be looked at, all the submissions should be given, a hearing. But we cannot let this be a plan not to push the bill forward. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Wane. No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings has already been rendered, which I also concur to those greetings. I want also to support Honorable Adons. After we have received all of us the legal opinion and the guidance from the legal team, I must say this, Chair, it's a thorn in my heart when I remember when we look at 1976, when students died because they were pushing and crying loud that the education system is not supposed to be the way it is. And today in our democracy, when we look at the clauses and bring change, we still face resistance, which of course I believe who were supposed to look at what happened and have good heart of wanting education system to be changed to an effect that it benefits all of us as the citizens of this country. I want to support that whether it's 6,000 or whatever, that be counted, but it can't derail us after the work has been done. We have taken time to come and have physical meetings to make sure that we make the work go on. That is the submission I'm making, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. Everyone have spoken. You are 10 members that have spoken. And, Makolo. Ofolo Kolom.
No. No, Chair. It's, I don't know. It's like I'm intimidating. No, Chairperson, no, thank you very much. I wasn't indicating anything. I did not want to speak, but it's important what has been said, that if there is disagreement in as far as figures in particular, because it's different figures, it's 9, it's 7, it's 6, if that could be given consideration, otherwise I just wanted to maybe to announce that I am here, and it's unfortunate that I had the Honourable Murua Setla talking about people who disappeared and then
and you can see that I did. So let me. I want to. See, I can understand the follow. We understand the stage. I from the discussions that are coming here. I really want to give a ruling, but before that, I want the legal people to speak. If you think, I'm not forcing you, if you think that you want to speak, you must speak. Or other than that, you can allow me to respond.
Yeah, hot potato.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll allow myself to speak, but I just wanted to give just two things for clarity purposes, which arose from the question. I think one, Chairperson, is to appreciate the distinction in purposes and the way Parliament is dealing with those purposes. I just want to clarify that for purposes of a bill or a draft legislation, it has nothing to do with petitions, because the further prescripts do define what a petition is, and a petition in line with the prescripts of Parliament, it deals with matters that are of concern to the public, which are not addressed in legislation. So there is that distinction, and perhaps maybe the other issue I just want to bring up is another distinction when we address a referendum. because also Chairperson, when we are doing public participation and submissions, the issue of the yes and the no's and the numbers, that necessarily is an issue for a referendum. But I am happy that the members are trying to find one another to say, in the end, did the committee members get sight of everything and get to be influenced by everything, and perhaps that's the way where we are trying to converge and find one another. And my appreciation would have been that perhaps the submissions as they come, as was the case with us, we all look at them and we make inputs as has happened. So I think as the chairperson has indicated and the members are indicating, you are trying to find one another and possibly there's going to be a way forward. Thank you, Chair.
No, it's fine. Thank you very much, Advocate Yema. We have listened to the members, and I think we should not act as if nothing was said. Oh, Ukol, I thought Ukol.
Thank you, Chi. Yeah. Chi, this of course it's a matter which concerns Parliament's own processes, your consultation process, your rules, and it's case law of course that applies. If it is the case that not all submissions were considered, that may prejudice the process, of course. Chi, regarding the A-list in its current state, If the committee makes a decision to proceed and to consider other submissions, that will obviously have a significant impact on the A-list. So the A-list may significantly have to be amended. So it may be pointless or superfluous to proceed with the presentation. But of course we are guided by the committee. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. So now we are standing at the issue that is raised here is the issue of the submissions. And I'm sure now at this point where we are for issues of consensus, we agree not to refer to numbers, but say that submissions that were not counted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we would refer to them. We are not anymore going to use numeric 1, 2,
all
9, 5, whatever. We are not going to use that. But I think the direction that we must give to this meeting is that we are going to speak now I'm going to speak with Mr. Bandi and for that process to unfold. And we are going to meet again next week, Tuesday. They would have counted that. We are giving a time frame. I guess somebody spoke of time frames. So they would have spoken on they would have dealt with the issues of whatever number that is there, because I don't want really to refer them. And also when that report comes back, we are not going to speak on the numbers. We are going to speak on the content that is raised. Because what actually we want to get, as one member has said, that we want to be guided by the inputs that the public have made. So whether all of them would be saying one thing, because I think that's what the issue of Honorable Sadebat is coming from. When you get a bulk of submission saying one thing and the names at the bottom differ, that is the content that we are going to. Well, that is the content that the members are looking for. And that is the submissions that have been referred to by these members. And I don't think that's a big deal. I agree with the sentiments of the meeting that let us look into those submissions. going to open that process. I'm going to tell everyone when that process kicks up. There was a view that if political parties feel they want to send observers, they can send them. Because we need to move. The reality is that at some point we need to finish this process. And if that's what ended, we need to agree that is what is holding us back. We dealt with the issue of matrix last week, the week after we dealt with that. If you remember, I had specifically asked Mr. Bandu to speak on it. We dealt with it. So we can't be taken back to that issue. So that is the guidance that I'm giving in this meeting, that we are adjourning the meeting. Here and now, we are going to come back next Tuesday again physically, and we are going to deal with the submissions that make us to hold this meeting. And I want to close it there.
Yeah. Are we going to question the ruling?
No. No. You can't.
I see hands.
Yeah.
But that's what I've said. I've said all that we're not counting. And I've said I'm not referring to numbers, because we all don't know the numbers yet. So we are going to... No, I've ruled. I have ruled. I've made that. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
How?
Don't use the chair.
Oh, no. Because I wanted the meeting to proceed.
Listen, I woke up at 3 and flew all the way, wasted a lot of time for the meeting to be adjourned at 11:30.
I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't. I've been looking for it.
But it was yesterday.
No.
When you came in again.
Yeah, you gave me. It's not the... It doesn't look like it's the right thing. I've just been looking around.
Hey, not that.
What are you saying, Mr. Principal? That is the one I wanted to get right.
I must change the slide.
You have killed my meeting.
They've killed your meeting.
They've killed my meeting. Now I must go away with you to follow my husband.
You know,
my meeting has been killed prematurely. Next time, you must come with me. My meeting has been slaughtered prematurely. No. Hey, how are you?
Hello,
love. This is our
colour. You haven't given me a